Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Celtic state of mind, smiles all round. Is that a treble? Make mine's a treble. That was, in terms of a tricky tie going into that game. And the thing is, Kevin, when you're on the bulletin or when you're on, here's Paddy coming in as well, when you're on the post-match, the pre-match, you're, all right, Paddy, how you doing, mate? You were in the wrong room. I was saying that you might have been. That's all right. And we're kind of thinking coming into this game, you know, you want to be a bit cautious. You don't want to count your chickens. Tynecastle can be a difficult place to go to. Indeed, this season, we've had tough games at Tynecastle. Celtic were absolutely outrageously good today. Head and shoulders above the challenge from Hearts. Vintage performance from Andy's men, Kev.
Absolutely, aye. It was so comfortable for the full 90 minutes, really. You know, the first half was... I think I've said this in almost every game that I've done for the last couple of months, but that was probably the best first half we've had of the season so far, because we just seem to be getting better and better, and we're controlling the game. You know, you get that goal within the first 2 or 3 minutes, it calms any nerves down if there were any. Then we just see through the rest of the half, get a goal right at the end. As John said, you know, we're bookending the half with goals. Mm-hmm. You kill the opposition by scoring just before half-time. Like, they're going in 1-0 down. They've got a plan that they can try and come back to. But at 2-0 and losing the goal 30 seconds before the break, they're done. Second half, we just come back out, lower the tempo, but control it, manage the game through it. And when we need to, we step it back up and get the goal. It was such a comfortable performance. And I'd been looking back at some of the previous games for the blog, the pre-match blog that we did, that went out on the Axon website, just in case anyone wants to know where that is. So we did that, and we'd won the previous 7 games against Hearts, but the 2 at Tynecastle had only been by a goal each. Mm. So you're expecting a really tight game here to be, you know, Tynecastle's quite a close venue, it's really intimidating, fans getting top of the players. We kill the game with the goal in the first couple of minutes. You kill it again with the goal just before half time. And the second half's just a stroll in the park.
It was a stroll, right? And there's a few wee bits, actually, because there was so much to talk about in that first half. John said at half time it was a tremendous first, and it really was. One thing I didn't mention, though, John, was there was a wee bit of needle, I felt, in that first half. And Celtic were up to the task. We were up to the task when it was required.
They were indeed. I'm getting a wee bit of interference. I don't know if anyone can hear it. Sorry.
That's brilliant, John.
It was.
I was just about to check on my levels and everything to make sure we were transmitting properly.
Sorry, I've enjoyed my day. It was excellent. There was a bit of needle and obviously very controversial at the end. I don't know what's going to come of that. Joe Hart clearly had something thrown at him. And it looked to me as if it was a dart or something similar, because he picked it up with goalie gloves on, so it wasn't a coin. And it seemed quite long. And when I saw the initial incident, when I saw him running out, they didn't say what it was. And then when you saw him coming back, he was furious. Mm-hmm. He was cursing under his breath. He obviously wasn't a happy guy. And when you actually look at Tynecastle, it's such a horrible ground. You know, if you're a keeper, I think he's, you know, what, 8 yards, maybe? You know, maybe 10 away from the fans behind him. So, you know, if they start throwing stuff, you know, that's a problem.
He refused to go behind the goal to get the ball for a
he did. I saw that.
Kick,
yeah.
Didn't he? So
he did. Yeah, quite right.
What kind of abuse he was getting.
Yeah, quite right. So, there was a bit of needle on the park as well, but I think most of the needle towards the end in particular just came because they'd basically given up. Mm-hmm. They were getting a footballing lesson, and they decided to start throwing people about and just fouling people, basically because they were too tired and they couldn't be bothered anymore, and there was no chance they were winning. The commentary team were saying, oh, you know, Hearts have done better this half, but they didn't lay a glove on us. I actually think they did better in the first half. They didn't lay a glove on us that second half. And I was just saying, Paddy, the pre-game, myself and Kevin, called it, you know, in terms of who was you're going to be playing well, Hearts and Johnson, and then you called it a half-time with CCV.
Yeah.
So that's good because it's better on these things to be Nostradamus rather than Nostradamus. So, you know, we got it right.
No, listen, there's a good few points I want to pick up on there because Joe Hart was obviously the subject of the conversation in the pre-match, John. And, you know, I think there was a few conversations last week around Celtic's strengthening in the summer, and people are mentioning the goalkeeper position. I thought we did that. We've done that already in the summer gone. It just so happens that unfortunately the guy who's come in has been injured for a while. But I think when I look at that situation with Joe Hart, we've seen him doing it a couple of times since he came to the club. Obviously at Ibrox, there was a broken bottle in the goal mouth, and he said to the referee at that stage, listen, I'll just take the whole team off. And I loved that because he was just taking ownership of the situation. It wasn't running it past Andrew or any of this kind of stuff. He's just saying, no, we're all just going to walk off. What he's done there, I didn't realise the type of object that had been thrown on until you mentioned that, John. But that's very interesting because a while back we had an ex-Hibs player in here in the studio. Can you remember Mickey Weir played with Hibs in the 1980s? Oh, he was a tricky wee kind of winger. Yeah. He came through with the likes of John Collins and stuff, and he said that there was an occasion he was taking a corner kick at Tynecastle and he felt this burning sensation on his ankle, and when he looked down, there was a dart sticking out his ankle. So it's proper old-school terrace hooliganism tactics, isn't it? If it is a dart, I mean, that's horrific, Paddy, if that's the case.
Well, we're no a stranger to that, are we? We've had Neil Lennon getting attacked. We've had, I remember, Scott Sinclair's debut when he scored the winner against Hearts as well at Tynecastle. Remember when he ran away celebrating, somebody tried to take a swing at him as well.
Yep.
So, I don't know the answer how to fix that. Obviously, the stadium was on top of the pitch and that's what creates the atmosphere, but these morons are getting no place in the game at all. What sort of psyche do you have to think to yourself, I'm going to lift a dart, I'm going to put it in my pocket, I'm going to go to the game, I'm going to sit in the stand and I'm going to throw it at a player? You must be an absolute mental case to do something like that. I never understood it. Same with the broken bottles. Okay, you take a drink to the game, fine, but why the hell do you go then smash a bottle and then have that in your head to go through the steps and stages to take the actions to think that's all right to do? That's mental, absolutely mental.
I said last night when we were talking about some of the singing that had come out from a previous game, it's just that people who are angry and disappointed with themselves, you know, and very, very unhappy with their lives, and they're just acting out in order to seek attention, in order to hurt, in order to intimidate. And, you know, it's pathetic behaviour. It truly is pathetic behaviour. It's easy to diagnose psychologically why they do it, but it's a lot more difficult to forgive, you know, why they do it, that sort of behaviour. And to be honest, the reasons why they do it are less important than the fact that they do, because ultimately, you know, you have to take responsibility and accountability for your own actions. So I certainly hope if that's the case, if it's another large object, if it's a dart or it's a bottle or, you know, whatever it might be, I certainly hope someone going to be speaking at a local constabulary about that one.
Yeah, I mean,
They'll have the pose with the body cams in front of their fans like they do at Celtic Park, surely, just to put interest in the fans. They'll have the pose there, eh?
On that point, Paddy, you remember the glass, the bottle and the Goalmouth incident just disappeared without trace. They couldn't locate who was responsible for it. It was, you think to yourself, with the CCTV in a football stadium plus additional CCTV cameras on the body cams and all that, you're going to be able to establish who was responsible for it. And again, I don't want to labour it. It was such a great performance with Celtic, but they really don't like us very much, do they? And Barry McCluskey comes in looking forward to Nielsen's post-match, wondering who he's going to blame. Did you hear the nonsense he came out with during the week, Kevin, about being decapitated in order to get a red card against Celtic at Celtic Park? What a nonsense. Just be a better team. Be a better coach. Have better players. You know?
Exactly. Has there ever been a game that Hearts have lost genuinely, without it being the fault of a refereeing decision or the opposition getting away with something? It seems to be every time we beat them, there's an excuse that comes out, and it's not that we were just a better team. I actually wanted to talk about that point with John before the game, but we had such a good time just going through the team. But I'd be interested to see what his view is on Hill's yellow card in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah,
because that's pretty much the exact same tackle that he's on about with Bernabei. Mm-hmm. It's a yellow card every day of the week. There's not really an intent to go in and injure the player. It's just a poorly timed tackle. So does he think that Hill should be yellow card? Sorry, red carded. Was that a decapitation attempt as well? Be interesting to see.
But Kev, what that would require is someone with the testicular fortitude, copyright John Hughes, to ask the question after the game, to actually ask him the question.
Exactly. And that's one of the major failings that we've got in the Scottish press just now, is that no one's got that. As you said, testicular fortitude. Been wanting to say that phrase for so long, so thanks for reminding me about it.
Can we get it on a T-shirt, John?
Oh, we've got to.
We have a picture.
We came, we saw, we had the testicular fortitude.
Fortitude. Well,
I thought the best T-shirt I saw during the week was I asked, about VAR, what they're checking that for. Liam put it in the group, was a T-shirt that just said VAR checking for possible fenian.
I'm sure it's an LDT. You can find her on the socials. But yes, until recently there was a wee shop quite near Celtic Park where she sold all her goods, and it is in that vein, let's just say. Brilliant.
I have one of her mugs, actually, one of her coffee mugs. I wouldn't tell you what it says on it. But it's,
just drink from it the next time you're on. Just give it one of the ones, John. Is it the unrepentant one?
Unrepentant coffee and something.
Yes, I've got good design. Yeah. Patrick James Simpson, professional, disciplined, ruthless. Ruthless in particular. And, there's quite a lot of different players I want to talk about. We spoke about some of them at half-time, but I'm also keen to get the comments coming up because we're all now looking at the possibility, Cardiff Carroll, of this treble. John dared to dream before the game, but when you look at the situation as it stands, last night, Inverness Kiley beat Kilmarnock 2-1. And then there was some kind of excuse coming after that game from Derek McInnes around budgets. No, I'm pretty sure Kilmarnock should be beating a team that's in a league underneath them, Derek. Today, Celtic will beat Hearts 3-0. Tomorrow, you've got Rangers against Raith Rovers. And then on Monday, you've got Falkirk against Ayr United. So as quite rightly said by John before the game, obviously you've got two of the teams going through to the semi-finals will be from the Championship. And obviously Celtic and possibly Rangers will be drawn against one of those. Are we able to dream of the treble, Paddy?
I think we've been able to dream about it since the League Cup win. We spoke about it in the show on Wednesday. And Big Johnny Sell said he would be disappointed if we would never get a treble this season. But and it's nothing to do with being overconfident or cocky or whatever. It's just by looking at what you can see with your own eyes. Who's going to stop us? Looking at even the second half in that game there, the Hearts came out in the first 10 minutes and it was clear their intention was just to kind of be physical and try and out-muscle us off the ball, getting about us, and it just didn't work. But then our clash shone through at the end. But in the second half, I don't believe we get a second gear in the second half. It was a stroll. And I think if Hearts had managed to get one back, we'd have just leveled it out, stepped up another gear and took them out of the game. as we win 3-0, it was a canter. But I genuinely can't see who can stop us. And I know cup games are different for league, and anything can happen in a cup game, but it's difficult to see, even with the other team across the city, how we can be stopped for getting the treble. And again, I don't want to be presumptuous or be overconfident, but that's just how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Paddy, sorry, I was thinking this during the game, I really dislike smug people, so I hate myself right now. it was all came to fruition. Now, the beauty of that game, sorry to cut across your point, Paul.
No, you're right.
The beauty of that game was that it was exactly what it should be. You know, we turned up, and that's what should happen when we turn up. Our biggest enemy is ourselves. And the potential problems we can make. But when we turn up, that's what should happen. So it worked. It was perfect. We showed up to play. We played brilliantly. And there was lots and lots to talk about in terms of the performances and who played well, who didn't, all the rest of it. But ultimately, the overarching theme really is, isn't it? It's just, you know, we played fantastically well. Second half was a bit quieter. But as you say, Paddy, second gear, mate. Second gear. You know, that's all we needed.
Absolutely.
John, it's like you were saying, no, sorry, Paul John, you were just saying there, like, our biggest enemy is ourselves, but we've got a manager in the dugout that won't let that happen. Mm-hmm. He's laser focused, absolutely laser focused. He will not be drawn in on any outside influences or any noise in the background. He refused to be drawn in on any nonsense yesterday in the press conference. This Ange Postecoglou takes every game at a time, and he makes sure the team do the same. We never look ahead. We never look at when the final can be or when the next league game is or whatever. That manager won't let us become our own enemy.
Well, when you were saying that, what we were actually talking about is specifically when Taylor was in the team. I was delighted because we were actually talking about specifically like Bernabe doing something rash. If someone does something rash, gets sent off, all the rest of it. No, I agree with everything you said there, but we were just talking about shooting ourselves in the foot.
What I love about Ange is the composure under massive, massive pressure, because it's only after the event has he spoken about the fact that only winning the league was acceptable. It was non-negotiable. But when you watch his interviews through the season, he doesn't touch on that. It's after the event. So he must have been under an incredible amount of pressure last season. It didn't show. He didn't allow anybody to rattle him in press conferences. He was in control. The composure is unbelievable. The comments that are coming through are very positive, which we love to see, because, I mean, there's very, very little negative we can talk about there. By the way, and someone might have seen it better than me, I'm pretty sure it came to my mind when Paddy mentioned the Sinclair incident back in the day. I'm pretty sure someone spat on Greg Taylor as well. Someone certainly motioned over, you know, the full body, and it wasn't verbals they were spouting. So that kind of thing, I think it can be intimidating. Perhaps I might be being too lenient on someone like Haksabanovic, who's, you know, he's on the wing. I think it might intimidate a player like that. But if you're going to be a success at Celtic and in Scottish football, you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. Paddy Burns is definitely looking about a tribal. Is it a tribal treble? It could be a tribal treble. I didn't do that on purpose, Paddy. I didn't do that on purpose. Fair play to you. Yes, we're on our way to a treble, and we've also got Cardiff Carroll. Bring it on. Hail, hail. John Sweeney, Nielsen and Hart's put in their place today, and we head hopefully to a treble. And we've also got Tony Davern. Best complete performance from a Celtic team this year. What a time to be a Celtic fan. IH Decorating, welcome back to the show. Excellent performance right throughout the side. In particular, I thought AJ was outstanding. I want to talk about AJ because we've got a scenario there where it's going to be hard. You've seen how difficult it is for a player to come in the other night, Kevin, with that wee bit of rustiness, not having the game time. Tony Ralston, a couple of stray passes here and there. But when you're Alistair Johnston, you're playing at that level. I honestly can't think of a bad game he's had in a Celtic jersey so far.
No, he hasn't had one yet, and that's why you can't think of one. He's we said this with John in the pre-match as well. You know, you're almost having to like think back in your mind, who was the guy that you replaced again? Who was he? because he's such a memory now. He's a distant memory, Juranovic, that you know, Johnson's just come in. And I'm sounding like a broken record, I feel, when I talk about him now, because I'm saying he's come in every week, he's come in, and he's just slotted in like he's been in that team for years.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you want from a player. He's been phenomenal. The things that you love about him, and again, John mentioned this before, is just that the character that he's got. When something goes against the team, when one of our players has been wronged in a game, he's the first player that's over.
Yeah.
It's Johnston every time. And he's only been in the door a couple of months, and he's already got that kind of team mentality about him that he just wants to stand up for everyone. It's great to see. And he's the mix of a traditional old-style, old-school fullback that just wants to get stuck in and get the job done. Mm-hmm. But he's also playing this more modern role of being the inverted fullback as well, and he's comfortable in the ball. He's good at going forward. But when it comes down to it, if you need someone to put in that last-ditch tackle, if you need someone to stand up for a teammate, Johnson's the man. And he's absolutely, as I said, just come in. You forget about the man that he's replaced because he's taking that role by himself.
Well, the only JJ that mattered today was Johnson and Jota. Mm-hmm. So, exactly. You know, down that side. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely bang on, Kev. The problem that Ralston has is, and ever try to get back into this team, is that Tony's passing ability, as we saw the other night, is fantastic. But Johnson has that as well. You know, he played some beautiful balls today. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them really set up dangerous situations. He made a couple of fantastic crosses. And what Ange has done here, remarkably, with these guys coming in, you know, you have to credit the manager. It cannot be a coincidence that these guys have just hit the ground running. With a couple of exceptions, they've all, you know, come in and smashed it immediately. So this whole narrative that we used to have is, well, a guy comes in, you need to give him months and months to settle, you know, get to know the city, you know, all this sort of stuff, get his kids into the school, maybe go to a few coffee mornings and, you know, whatever it is that we used to say that they were going to do to settle in. You know, these guys have absolutely smashed it straight from the get-go. Mm-hmm. You know, so that puts pressure on other people coming in, because it's like, no, there's no leeway here, there's no latitude here. You hit the ground running or you're gone. And that's pretty much what happened to Haksabanovic today. I mean, getting hooked on 58, that's not good. That's not good. I banged on about it during the half time. But, you know, I'm really annoyed. I really am annoyed because I wanted him to play an absolute blinder and I feel bad for him. But he just wasn't on it today. He wasn't there. He wasn't on it. And Abada came on and did what Abada always does when he comes on, is a sub for some reason. He just played really well.
He made that impact. Start, yeah, you're right. Yep. You're spot on, Paddy. And I agree with you, though, John. Haksabanovic, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about that. What's this guy got to offer? And he gets the chance, doesn't take it. And you just know that, you know, the way that Ange works is if you don't take it, he'll just do what he did with Abada. And then Abada then, you know, the tables are turned. He has to then come on and make an impact, and I think he did. He came on, and I thought he was positive in the way that he approached the game. And, you know, there's loads of comments coming in, actually, about Carter Vickers. We can often go through games, Paddy, at times, and, you know, the guys that are really, really consistent, like Carter Vickers, and often McGregor, sometimes Kyogo, you know, you can go through a game and not really focus on the performance. But Carter Vickers, I mean, if there was one of the cams where you just follow him for 90 minutes, he's unbelievable at being able to sniff out a danger before it happens. You know, people going about his pace. I just don't think you see him running at full pace all that often because he doesn't have to. You know, he's in the right position at the right time. I thought he was brilliant again today, and he capped it all off with a headed goal, which was a really, you know, good take and a great delivery again from the man who assists more than anybody else, O'Reilly.
But a headed goal from the free kick that he won.
Yes.
Yep.
And that was a shocking challenge, John. That was a knee-high challenge, you know.
I was about to mention that when you were talking about challenges there. I thought the challenge in Carter Vickers was a shocker as well.
Yeah, it was
pretty much from behind, wasn't it? And that's outlawed in the game. But I mentioned Carter Vickers at half-time. I thought he was brilliant in the first half as well. His defensive work he could see what he was trying to do. He was passing the ball. I've got him or Jota down as my man of the match for today. And you could see how many times did Carter Vickers hold off two Hearts players, shielding the ball, defending. The second half, I thought it was good. I thought Kobayashi handled these long balls at the start of the second half as well, really well. And he handled Giunelli pretty good. Mm. But Carter Vickers is just phenomenal. The only thing I've got to say about Carter Vickers is in the 61st minute, what was he thinking with that back pass? You see the almost own goal where he sclaffed at the clearance and Hart had to save his bacon.
Did it pan over to Ange again just to see his reaction?
I know.
I tell you something about him, Paddy, when you're talking about him, the ability to hold off those players. You talk about a low centre of gravity.
Oh, mate,
the man must have concrete in his backside. Aye. Do you know what I mean? They cannot get him off the ball.
I know.
You know, I've never seen him pushed off a ball.
But he just makes it look that easy. It just stands and it just holds off these guys. And you're thinking, so how? And you can, the guys are tanking him. You can see his legs and you can see his demeanour. But Jesus Christ, he's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Upper body strength is incredible, isn't it? John says, he can just hold people up. You mentioned Kobayashi, Paddy. I think it's fair to bring him into the conversation because he's a player. We'd seen like flashes of Iwata and people were saying, I'd love to see a wee run from Iwata. We hadn't seen so much from Kobayashi, but you know, he's coming in that second half and Celtic were, by that point, they were coasting it. But he has impressed, I think, in the second half, slotted in effortlessly, says Tony. Upgrade from Jens, and Jens was great. I like the way that the first touch of the ball, Kevin, he's basically turning his body and it's offensive. The first time he gets that, he's on the move straight away. I like that about him. He's not laboured. I'm not saying, you know, sack Starfelt. I'm not saying that. Starfelt tends to take a couple of touches to compose himself. But his first touch and he was on the move and I thought that was good and it was dynamic, which I think will suit Angie's team.
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually really glad to see all the comments that are coming in on the side that are praising Kobayashi for his performance. So that he was excellent in the second half. Again, as was it Tony that had just said in the comment there, it looks like he's been there for a while, the way that he's come in. You can definitely tell he's like he's a ball playing centre half. When that ball comes to him, and because he's left footed as well, playing on the left side, he gives you that bit of balance. I think Starfelt's a good defender. We spoke about it before the game. He's a really good defender and what he's good at is defending. He's maybe not so comfortable with the ball at his feet and he's playing on the wrong side for him. But with Kobayashi, when the ball comes to him, like you say, he receives it well, he opens his body up, and how many times did he take it, kind of invite the Hearts player onto him and then just step past him and he's striding out for defence. It's like watching Van Dijk again, almost. He's got that level of composure on the ball. I think he'll be a really good player for us. I think he'll settle in and probably next season, you know, you may be looking at him being a starter in the team.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a situation where we have guys coming off the bench in almost every position who are genuinely competitive. And maybe they've been out of the team for a while, they're coming back, they're actually better than the guy that's on the pitch, or they're genuinely competitive. The only sort of positions I think that's not the case in is obviously striker. I don't think was competitive with Kyogo and left back with Bernabe and Taylor. But other than that, you know, there's pretty much real quality behind every single player there. I mean, Iwata, come on, and was so clever. I mean, one of the tackles he made there was just brilliant. So clever, went back brilliantly. and you know, I mean, these guys are only coming on. There's only 15 minutes to make your mark in a game. That's a very difficult thing to do. You know,
every time he's come on, isn't he?
Every time, yeah,
every game he's come on.
Yeah, I mean, look at the man's pedigree. You know, you just know he's going to be a great player. Yeah, you know, best player in Japan. Yeah, we've got a lot of guys in that team who are not the best players in Japan, but by God, they're the best players in Scotland.
Yeah,
you know, so.
That's a great shout, John. Because, like you say, if he's better than Hatate, what have we got in store here? You know, unbelievable. I'm going to bring this up because, sorry, Kev.
I was just going to say, I think the point that John was making as well about the squad, spot on. Because if you're sitting thinking back and going, like in my lifetime going, right, Tommy Burns had the team that's probably played the best football I'd seen Celtic play, but the squad was really thin, and when it came down to it, we just weren't good enough. Then you'll move on to someone like Martin O'Neill and you'll go, that's probably the best starting 11 we've ever had. But the squad was weak. You've got maybe 14, 15 players, but then after that, the squad is fairly weak. You're giving boys like Ross Wallace more of a game than he should ever have got. Then you're going Brendan Rodgers. And again, you're going, this is the time when we were becoming really dominant. And the team was good. The squad was getting there. But there were holes in it in different places. Mm-hmm. Now you look at this one and you go, right, if Haksabanovic isn't working, we're bringing on Abada. And we've got Maeda out injured to come back. And you've got James A. Forrest. So there's four options going for that one position. You've got Iwata, the best player in Japan last season, not able to get in the team at the moment. You've got Kobayashi coming in. You know, the strength and depth there is unbelievable. And that's where you go back to what Paddy was saying earlier on as well about us going for the treble. And it's not an entitlement. It's not a big-headedness or anything about it. But you look at our team and our squad, compare it to everyone else, and we really should win every game that we play domestically, because we should be head and shoulders above the rest.
The best way to characterise the substitutions, I think, is the first line of the song that I played earlier, isn't it? Just piling on the agony.
Yeah.
It's so true, though. You get an injury to Maeda, and you know you can bring on Haksabanovic. Didn't have a great game today, but you can bring on quality. You get an injury to Starfelt, you can bring on Kobayashi. You know, in other teams, that would be a devastating blow and a devastating loss, but we've got another player there you can bring in, and the drop in quality doesn't exist.
Well, it's not even that, Paul John, as well. We've got Maeda out, you bring on Haksabanovic to replace him. Haksabanovic doesn't do it, and then we bring on Abada, so we've got three. It's absolutely scary.
It's just,
imagine being that fullback that's maybe gone up against Jota for an hour, and you think, right, oh, I've done my job, right? Jota's gone off now. Oh, it's Abada that's coming on. It's Maeda that's coming on. Jesus, can I get subbed off?
It's 60 minutes.
No, absolutely. Jack says here, best Celtic team of the last 20 years. I'm so in love with Celtic. And it's a point of reference. Last year, we were playing some great stuff last year, and I got a phone call out of the blue from my old football coach, right, who had been watching Celtic since the 1960s. And Mick Hutton, if you're watching, because I know he does tune in, I hope you're doing well. And he said this was the best Celtic team he had seen since then. And so when I hear guys that have been through it all saying that kind of stuff, or Jack coming on, I mean, it tells you just how good and exciting this team that Ange is assembling is at the moment. And we're living the moment. And by the way, when we started live streaming, we thought we were going to be celebrating 10 in a row, and we lived the dark time. So we're going to enjoy it now that we've turned that corner in a big way. As I said before, last night I didn't really have much backup, but we all stood up. John Hughes came to the fore, Paddy and Kevin. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you today. And thank you again for holding the fort in the pre-match. The comments section has rightfully been very, very positive. Keep it up. Go out, enjoy the rest of your weekend, ladies and gents. And thanks, everybody, for joining us on A Celtic State of Mind. Network.